Welcome and thank you for tuning to 3 Minute Lives podcast. We are a group of young adults that meet every Monday night at 7 p.m. If you'd like to see what we are up to, check us out on our social media at 318 Live. If you'd like to partner with us, just go to 318live.co and click on the give button. Now, I hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Daniel.
So welcome to 318 Live. We are the city's young adult ministry. So excited, so excited that you decided to make it tonight, because we are continuing our series called Pioneer Possibilities. I had to check, make sure I said it right. And this entire series is focused on the idea of transition, and we decided that this would be an important conversation to have as a community because we're all in a season of transition. My life is in a season of transition. If you didn't know, I'm moving to Sweden in less than a month. Your life is in a season of transition. You just finished finals. Our ministry is in a season of transition. Someone new will be coming in. Our country is in a season of transition. We elected a new president. Like, there's a whole lot of transition happening right now. Can I get an amen? Amen. We need to talk about it, because transition is not always easy, and we've got to do it right. So if you remember last week, we talked about the past. And just in case you didn't know, this is a three-week series, and I'm going to kind of hit it at past, present, future. So last week, we talked about the past, and we saw that looking back and holding on to the past will anchor you into your current season and prevent you from moving forward. We also learned that many times the enemy will use your memories to try and draw you back to a former lifestyle. And we learned that we're to take the words of Paul when he spoke in Philippians. He said, focusing on forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. We have got to consciously, this is not one of these things that's just supposed to make you feel good or feel inspired. You've got to constantly demand that your mind let go of the past and focus on things that are in front of you, because God's taking you into a new season. God is doing a new thing in your life, and you will struggle to get there if you're constantly looking back and being drawn into the past. So this week I want to talk about the current season you're in, and I want to look at things that would be preventing us from God promoting us. We want to look at those things that aren't necessarily in the past, but have more to do with the way that you're currently doing life, and they could be roadblocks that will stop you from moving forward. As we're pioneering possibilities, your possibilities become very endless, very limited, if you aren't engaging in these thoughts. That was a horribly worded sentence. How about this? How you end one season determines how you begin the next. Hey, that's a word. I said how you end one season determines how you begin the next. The Lord is good. Probably about 2 years ago, I went to a pretty prophetic church, and one of the pastors came up to me and he's like, hey, I feel like the Lord gave me a word for you just about your life. Do you mind if I share it? And I was like, sure. I was like, that would be great. And honestly, he nailed it, because he said, this isn't really the best word you could ever give someone. I was like, oh, thanks. And so he talked about how kind of the season I was walking through was pretty difficult. Nailed it. And he said this. He said, the depth through which you walk through this season will determine the height that God sends you in your next season. And I want to let you know that word is not just true for me, but that word is true for you. That is a law of life. Even secular business people and sociologists can agree that whenever you push into the dips and the low seasons of life, it will actually propel you further where you're going next. If you're in business and maybe your business is in a dip, then you can get Seth Godin's book called The Dip, and he explains that concept of when to quit and when to stick it out. But tonight, I want to talk about three things that will prevent your promotion. three things that will prevent your promotion. And whenever I say promotion, what I mean is your promotion into your next. Whatever your next is, these three things will prevent you from God promoting you. And so the number one thing that I want to write down, maybe not the number one thing, but the number one thing I wrote down is disobedience. So you can go ahead and write that down and feel convicted if that's you. Let me tell you this, God's grace for your calling can't coexist with your disobedience. It is impossible to walk fully in the grace of your calling and destiny and plans and purpose if you are actively being disobedient in your life. We see in Joshua 5, verse 6, it says this. It says, the Israelites had traveled into the wilderness, we could say into the unknown, for 40 years until all the men who were old enough to fight in the battle when they left Egypt had died. For they had disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord vowed he would not let them enter into the land he swore to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, many of us are familiar with this story. Some of us others aren't really familiar with it, but I want to tell you what happened. God delivered the Israelites from Egypt. They were under Egyptian bondage and slavery, and this is what he did. Not only did he deliver them from something, but he delivered them to something. I want to tell you this. God is so good, he doesn't deliver you into your demise. He delivers you into a promotion, into a next season. But it is your disobedience that will lead you into demise after he has delivered you. So he promises them the land of milk and honey, and they send out 12 spies to survey the land. They're like, come on, boys, go out there, survey the land, see if it's as good as God said it was. And 10 of the 12 spies came back, and they said, we can't actually take that land because there's giants there. This wouldn't be a good idea for us to take this. I know God had promised us this land, but I can promise you that the giants are big. Yeah, it's good land, all the good stuff that God said was there, but there's some hard stuff that he didn't mention, and I think we should probably just not. And then the other two guys were like, yes, there are giants, but I'm going to stand on the promise of God that this is what he said he would give us, and I believe that we can make it there. Can I tell you, the 10 of 12 who said we can't take that land were right, because guess what? They never did. They were right. They looked at this situation, and they said, we can't take that land, and they never did. But the two who said we can take it did inherit it. Let me tell you, everyone who believed they couldn't take the land didn't take the land. If you conclude that wrong is right, then you empower wrong to become reality. And whenever you begin walking in wrong, then wrong becomes your current reality, and it will be very hard for you to walk into your destiny. Ephesians 5, 6 says this. It says, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. For the entire list of sins, you can read earlier in Ephesians 5 if you want to know those. He said, for the anger of God will fall on those who disobey him. Many of us, we really have bought into this idea that we can live any lifestyle that we want and we're still going to achieve everything that God has promised us. I want to tell you, you can't find any passage of scripture that will back up a doctrine of disobedience and blessing. It just does not happen. And so it's impossible to go through the right doors when you're walking in the wrong direction. I mean, if you just even look at this in a physical sense, there's no way you can hit the door on the right if you're clearly walking to the left. Like, this isn't even rocket science. Disobedience will derail you from your destiny. So let's look at it in a really applicable kind of way. I just want to make this as clear and simple as I really can. Let's look at the idea of good versus evil, right? Good team, bad team. God versus Satan. Let's talk about this. Whenever you walk in disobedience, you attract the devil. Whenever you walk in disobedience, you put on a jersey that says, I'm on your team. Satan looks at you and he's like, oh snap, that dude's on my team. And what does he do? You attract what you emit. If you are emitting disobedience, you're going to attract the father of lies into your life. However, obedience will offer you protection. God says, oh, they're being obedient? I got them. They're on my team. Let me tell you, do not allow the grace of God to be lifted from your life because you're walking in disobedience, because the safest place you could ever be is where God told you to go and what God told you to do. And so that's what we've got to do. Many times in life, this is what I found, that deliverance is found in simple obedience. Man, there was a time in my life I took a job I shouldn't have taken. I knew I shouldn't have taken this job too. Straight up took this job because it looked real good on the outside. You know what I mean? I knew I shouldn't. But let me tell you what started happening. After I took this job, things started like getting all shaky in my life. I'm like, man, all of a sudden things going awful wrong at the Madry residence. You know, like I ain't been sleeping as good as I used to sleep. I promise you, I lost hundreds of dollars. No, I wasn't gambling or anything like that. My car kept breaking. It's like everything that could go wrong was going wrong, and I was not accustomed to that. I was really accustomed to God really working out the details. Don't get me wrong, when you walk in obedience, there's still some hard times. There really is. But you can tell when there's hard times warranted with God's protection rather when there's hard times and you feel like you're walking at it alone because you're in disobedience. And that's where I was. I knew I needed to quit this job. I'll tell you what I did. It got so much, I literally called my boss and I said, hey, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I don't have enough money to stay at this job. Like I'm going broke because everything's breaking in my life. Whenever you're looking for a breakthrough, many times it's literally just found in simple obedience. You try to complicate it. You think you've got to jump through these elaborate hoops, that you've got to put on some great performance, that you have to navigate some, you know, battleship warranted waters. That's not it. You literally walk by faith, not by sight, walk by the intuition that God has given you rather than the emotion that Satan likes to play with. You know, you can't, it's impossible to make consistently emotional decisions and be on the right track. Because guess what? Your emotions hate your future. Your emotions don't like working out. Your emotions don't like eating healthy. They don't like staying pure. There's a whole bunch of things your emotions don't like. Your emotions will never lead you to a good place. You've got to stand on God's word, not emotions. So the second thing, and this was, I feel like, the first thing that God really gave me. So this might be the biggest thing. The second thing is entitlement. Let me tell you about something. Do any of you guys play fantasy football? You guys play fantasy football? I'll have you know, just beat out Lewis Fertitta. Sorry about that. Pray for Lewis. He's going to be okay. I'll also have you know, I'm number one in my fantasy league. There are so many surprised individuals in here right now. Like, first off, we didn't know Daniel knew what fantasy was. Second off, he can't be number one. But let me tell you this. When you play the numbers, baby, they work. I didn't have any emotional tie to any player except for Dak Prescott. And look what he's doing. I'm just saying, it's the favor of the Lord. Must have been obedient during draft week. I'll tell you who wasn't. Y'all pray for Alex Devine. Got to struggle. Anyway. Hey, so let's talk about this. Fantasy football is about 14 weeks long. You have about 14 weeks of playing games, of switching in and out players, and then what happens? The season ends. Yeah, the season's over, the season ends. It doesn't happen. Let me tell you, because we live in a linear season, we live in a, it's winter for like 6 days, but it's spring for like 2 months, it's summer for like 18 years. You know how everything's got a season and every season has a time limit? What happens is this. You buy into the lie that the promotion into your next season is based off of time rather than character. God doesn't see seasons the same way you see seasons. You do not stay in your current season until you promote yourself out by being there longer than the next guy. You go into the next season by having a character that is able to withstand the calling of the next season. We can't be conditioned to believe that it's based off of length rather than character. I was at a job one time that I hated. I feel like, you know, and I use a lot of job examples because that's a season that we go through. Sometimes we have great jobs. Sometimes we have bad jobs. Sometimes we're in good relationships. Sometimes we're in bad relationships. Sometimes everything. Everything. Good classes, bad classes, everything. And so I was at a job that I was not liking at one point. I was like, I am not happy about this. I want to quit. God, I'm going to be stuck here forever. Whenever you're in college, everything falls apart. You know, you're sensitive. Your emotions are crazy. And I felt like God said this. I felt like God said, I won't bring you to your next job until you serve excellently at your current job. Let me tell you this. The current season you're in does not end after you put in the right amount of time. It's whenever you learn to serve God and serve the job and serve the relationship or serve the ministry or serve whatever it is to build the character to where God can trust you with something bigger. God has bigger for all of us. Let me tell you, if God has a dream for your life and it's at the top of the ladder, that don't mean that by the time you die, you're going to be at the top of the ladder because maybe he could only trust you 3 steps high. Guess what? You can forfeit your destiny because you're unwilling to embrace the hardship of where you're at to build the character for the next level. You know what I'm saying? And so I've got to tell you, you're not entitled to your destiny. You're not entitled to be used by God. You're not entitled to a stage. You're not entitled to popularity. You're not entitled to 6 figures. You're not entitled to a husband or wife. You're not entitled to it. You're not. Thanks, Lewis. Currently letting them know. Colossians 3:23 says this. I love this verse. I feel like I beat our interns with this verse all the time. Colossians 3:23, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Let me tell you, what would your job that you hate or your life that you hate or your schoolwork that you hate, what would it look like if you did your best every day? You know what I mean? What would it look like? Excellence is based off of your character, not your situation. You can tell me you're an excellent person, but if it's not bleeding through in every area of your life, then I think you're being led by your emotions rather than your character. Oh, you mean you're excellent at the things you like, but you're not excellent at the things you don't like? Yeah, that's a character problem. And so God wants us to be consistently excellent in whatever it is that we do because you're not entitled to whatever he has next. I remember I came to church one time, like 2 weeks ago or something. Like, it wasn't even that long ago. No, it was longer than that. But it was this year. I came to church, bad attitude. I was not, did not want to serve the house of the Lord that day. Bad attitude. Woke up unhappy. Didn't even matter. No one could fix it. Woke up, bad attitude. Guess what? I'm up here early, too. One fun, one anything. We had a Connect coffee in the back or something like that. And I was just like, man, I just want to dip out. And then it hit me. I said, well, Daniel, how do you teach others to serve? Because leaders aren't the exception, they're the direction. And you know, and if I'm not setting a good direction, then I have no expectation for anyone under me to do a great job. And so I said, I don't care how tired I am. I don't care how much in a bad mood I am. I'm going to do the absolute best job I've ever done in my entire life. I'm telling you, I was vacuuming floors that they didn't tell me to vacuum. I was setting up stuff above and beyond. I went all this stuff. And by the time I left church, 6 hours later, I had never felt so alive. I was like, bruh, I feel great right now. Like, I left church and I was like, dang, I feel good. Like, wow. And the Lord spoke to me. He's like, you'll never be satisfied if you do the right thing the wrong way. You know what I mean? The formula for satisfaction if you feel empty and depressed in your life is doing the right thing the right way. It's not doing the right thing the wrong way or the wrong thing the right way. It's doing the right thing the right way. And whenever you are sowing seeds of excellence in the right fields, then you will reap a harvest of energy that you never thought you had to do something that you never thought you could do. So the last point for tonight, the last roadblock, the last thing that will hold up your promotion are wounds from the past. Wounds from the past. And here's the sad part. It might not be your fault. Many times it's not. Guess what? Life is unfair. Guess what? We're all not born into great families. Some of us in here were sexually abused. You know, probably many of us in here were sexually abused in some way, shape, or form. Life is not fair. But let me tell you, it is our responsibility to take care of our emotional and mental health. It is our responsibility to let go of the bitterness of the wounds that have been inflicted upon us and embrace the healing that Jesus Christ and forgiveness has to offer. And the reason is because hurt people hurt people. If God promotes a hurting person, then he's positioning you to hurt other people. The reason God won't do that is because he loves everyone. He can't afford to have you hurting them. You know what I mean? And so let's talk about it like this. Just an application of sorts. Your body is kind of like a car. Four doors, sunroof. No, I'm joking. Your body's like a car. The Holy Spirit would be the oil that goes into the car. Your relationship and position with the Holy Spirit is what empowers you to be emotionally stable and healthy. Many of us, we have to continuously work through this. There are some cars, I think they're German made, that you only have to get the oil change like every 10,000 miles. And then there's my dad's truck, every 1,500. Sometimes you gotta top her off just to make sure you're gonna make it to point B. You know what I mean? Hey, some of you guys are 10,000 mile cars where you're good, where you can remain relatively healthy. Some of you guys are everyday kind of maintenance. Every single morning. And I think everyone should spend time with God every day, but some of you guys have to. I went to a counselor. They looked at my temperament and they said, Daniel, if you don't spend time with every day, you're going to abuse people. And I said, I know. That's why I talk about spending time with God all the time. If you're one of our interns, you know that I always talk about how much time you spend with God. Are you spending time with God? What's your quiet time look like? Here's how you have a quiet time. This is how you read the Bible. Because in my life, if I don't spend time with God, I'm not going to be the person I need to be. And so you've got to gauge, where are you? How much do you need? How often do you need that deep intimacy? Because it says this in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Remember, we're talking about pioneering the possibilities of what could be. How likely do you feel God's going to bring you your spouse if you're so emotionally hurt from the past that you just hurt everyone around you? Or you hurt anyway? It's like trying to hug a porcupine, you know? And God can do it. God can do it. And guess what? God does do it. And God heals. But the ball's in your court because his healing power doesn't change with the seasons. Your perspective, your perception, your relevance to him is what constantly changes. Because what we've got to know is, just like health is contagious, unhealthiness is more contagious. If you step into a healthy ecosystem, you will become healthy. That's what we talked about last week in our culture teaching for our interns. But guess what? If you're an unhealthy person entering into an unhealthy ecosystem, or if you're a healthy person stepping into an unhealthy ecosystem, you will become unhealthy. God cannot promote you to a position of hurting others. I want to talk real quick. I know it sounds super spiritual. I want to talk real quick on some indicators of emotional unhealth. And so as I say this, I want you to take inventory in your life. And I need you to be honest with yourself. Because in Psalm 51, David says, God requires honesty from the womb. Are you easily angered? Are you short-tempered? Are you insecure? Are you oftentimes confused? Are you what they would call a pessimistic person? Do you have no motivation? Do you have constant desires to be alone or isolated? Do you get overwhelmed really easily? Do you blame others? Or one of those people who every time something happens, there's always someone to blame. You're never taking responsibility. It's always someone's fault. And I'm not throwing a stone at you because guess what? That probably stems from a situation that happened in your childhood where something happened to you and it wasn't your fault. So we're not mad, we're not angry, but I am telling you, you have to be responsible for your life. You do have to plug into God and become healthy. You know, I remember we had an intern meeting one time and I was like, man, I'm healthy now. I'm gonna be healthy, not emotionally healthy, but like, you know, like I'm gonna lose weight healthy. I'd made that decision that morning and the week before and like 2 days before that too. Can anyone relate? You like, you there? Okay, good. Okay, good. So I went to our intern meeting. Y'all, I'm stuck on it. I'm like, shh, health. Lindsay brings brownies. You the devil? Like, what? Who does that? Who brings brownies? Not even like donuts or brownies. That's like my favorite. If it's a donut, I can pass on it. That's fine. A brownie? I had one. Guess what? It wasn't Lindsay's fault. It was my fault. The opportunity was there, but it was my fault. There will be opportunities in your life for unhealth. There'll be opportunities to blame others. But you have to start being responsible for yourself and stop blaming everything on your circumstance and your situation. So I want to encourage you with this. You know, if point number one, if you're disobedient, I think the answer is to submit to God and become obedient. And I believe that soon after you embrace obedience, you'll experience a breakthrough and think, dang, why did it take me this long? It's going to be hard. That's okay. If you feel entitled, like, oh, it's coming. I'm just being lazy here. I'm just buying my time. If you feel entitled, then you need to repent. You need to repent because in no way is laziness or entitlement the culture of heaven. No one gets promotions in the kingdom of God through entitlement or laziness. And if you have a wound from your past, I think the number one thing you need to do is forgive someone. They don't deserve it. Neither do you. You don't deserve forgiveness. And the trespass that you have against God is greater than the trespass that someone else has against you. In Matthew 6, 14 and 15, this is what Jesus said. Some people might glaze over this. I want to highlight to you what the actual Word of God Bible says. It says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Dang. That hurts. You know, it doesn't say if you forgive those who small sin against you, who small hurt you. It says if you forgive those who sin against you, God will forgive you. But if you harbor resentment and unforgiveness, then what you're doing is you're sticking a stake in the ground and you say, I don't want to feel the grace of God on my life, and I'm not interested in moving beyond this moment. And I'm just wanting to stay in this season my whole life.